I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the HIV podcast. Each week we focus on a person, historical event or pop culture moment linked to HIV and explore the story of what actually happened. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess. And between us, we've been working in the field of HIV for 40 years. Our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated.
Please note, this episode contains explicit language throughout. That's not easy to say. And also contains conversations of a sexual nature.
Welcome to the HIV podcast.
Friend of the podcast, that's now what we're calling you, Topher.
Yeah.
So friend of the podcast, we are so happy to have them back for the second time and hopefully not the last time. I'm hoping you're going to become sort of a little regular on the podcast.
Linger.
Yeah. A lingerer. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to put in the bio. Podcast lingerer, Topher.
I like it. It's unique.
But yes, thank you so much for coming on again. We have the fantastic Topher Taylor with us today.
Thank you. Hi, and thanks for having me. I really enjoyed last time. I sent you the email, didn't I? I was like, just was a really nice conversation. It was nice. Yeah. Gosh, yeah. The puritanical people who are terrified of silicone now.
Oh, well, it's so good to have you back. And we've asked you to do another episode because we need your help. Not just us as service users. So we've been talking with them about the challenges they face starting relationships or how sex changes after you've been diagnosed with HIV. And I think we need your expertise, but also a bit of a roundtable discussion between the three of us so you're not on the spot. Oh, do you know what? I should wear my multicoloured robe so I can preside over the conversation.
Yes, like the mayoral one with the chain on the neck. Yeah.
Sarah actually got herself a sparkly robe, Topher. You should see it.
I insist.
Someone called her the sparkly ball bag of Berkshire. That's what they...
Funny, I've been inaccurate. Called the same thing.
Have you got it to hand, Sarah?
Yes, well, of course
oh,
I have.
God, I'm so
always
happy about
it. Next to me. I don't wear this enough, Jess.
Why is it so hairy?
It's also quite flammable, so I'm slightly worried about the... Look, we'll drape... Oh, that...
Oh, I love it.
Love it.
Yep, I love that.
Right, if I catch fire, just carry on as though nothing's happened.
We'll shout for Fraser loudly, but you might have to try and unplug your headphones.
We have to shout a long ways in Southampton.
Oh.
He's not going to rush back. Shall we start? I feel like I'm in a position of power now. Okay, so let's start with something that's important, whether you're positive or not. Using condoms, condom negotiation. I'm very interested in your thoughts on when's the right time to have that chat.
This is a bit of a vague answer. It depends on the person. So some people are very funny about I just made a joke about people being puritanical. People are very funny about it. So I think it's about finding that right moment. Some people can be offended by being asked to use a condom because it's like, oh, are you assuming that I'm going to give you an STI or whatever, or I'm positive? I don't know. With me personally, when I'm having sex in the personal capacity, it's usually just when I'm talking, planning. If it's a very casual sexual thing, Like if it's like a fuck buddy or so what, and you're like, hey, are you free on the weekend? Like, have you tested recently? Because I usually open with that. I know it's easier for me to be able to open with that because the people that I sleep with know what I do for a living. So they know that I'm going to be very open with it. It's one of the things I think, just kind of force yourself to say it. Because if you feel the need to ask the question about condoms, it means that you want to use them.
Mm.
So I think it should be able to slot into conversation quite naturally.
Yeah. I think that's a good answer to say, force yourself, because sometimes you can feel like, oh, I don't want to ruin it. So saying to yourself, no, you have to ask this before we go any further. Sort of telling yourself that.
It doesn't matter how attractive you are, how much sexual experience you have, you've always got that fear that you're going to scare someone off. I think most people are like, oh, am I going to freak them out? Am I going to be too weird? But I think just from my personal experience when I was younger, the amount of times I did have sex without a condom when I was more naive because I was too shy or didn't want to be overbearing to ask the question. And, you know, then back in there, like, this was before, like, you'd have to wait 3 months for test results, like full bloods, etc. So I'd spend 3 months convincing myself that I was HIV positive, and all because I was just too scared to spit it out. And I think it speaks a lot to something I always talk about, but I do think it's really important. If you are going to get in bed with someone and if you're too uncomfortable to talk to them about condoms or testing, probably should be in bed with them. Because I think that speaks to your gut feeling with that person. And I feel like there's that level of comfort. If you're going to be inside someone's body or have them inside of you or their tongue on your genitals or whatever, I would hope that you're also comfortable enough to be like, hey, when did you last get tested? Or even if you are nervous about it, I do like to cater to people who maybe aren't as direct as me and just be like, hey, are you allergic to latex? Just checking what condoms we would use.
That's genius. That's a really good way of doing it.
Find a window in there. Maybe bring up, oh, I'm kind of allergic to this lube, so maybe we can use this, but we can't use that because it's bad with condoms. And it just brings it into the conversation without you having to.
That's such a nice way. Yeah, it feels like less accusatory. Like you're saying, when you have that fear of you're going to say to someone, oh, can we use a condom? And like you're saying, they're going to go, oh, why? What are you trying to say? I don't want to have sex with you now. Whereas it feels more comfortable, doesn't it, opening a conversation and saying, are you allergic to latex? Are you good with normal condoms? Yeah. It feels like you're being nice to them. You're sort of catering for their needs. And we like to please other people, don't we? So,
helpful. And I feel like if there are, especially in the UK, there's such a personality type, you almost apologize for asserting yourself. So it's like, oh, I'm sorry for having a little bit of self-respect. I know that's uncomfortable for you. And I do understand that. So I always try and cater stuff to that. Like, maybe you could be like, oh, I really like ribbed condoms. Maybe we can try that. Or like, or if someone, maybe if you're having a conversation with someone and sexual health hasn't come up, maybe they're like, oh, because I know a lot of people with dicks and men talk about premature ejaculation. And you go, oh, I know we can use the delay condoms. You know, things like that. It's just a good window into bringing it up. You know, that's like, oh, of course we were going to use condoms. Why did you think we wouldn't? You know,
that's the key, isn't it? Is normalizing it.
Yeah.
So that they then will look like a bit of an idiot if they go, well, why would we use those? If you're confident enough to say this is just what we do.
Exactly. It's just like find a window into the condom conversation if you are uncomfortable. Like me personally, I would just spit it out, but I think people would expect me to. But I think a lot of it, like just one thing I want to touch on again is, if you are going to have sex with someone or go on a date with someone and you're so, their personality is giving you such a, you know, wobble that you're scared to approach the conversation of safe sex, then maybe listen to that inner guide, because ultimately it doesn't matter how attractive someone is. It's not worth that anxiety afterwards, or sometimes the trauma of getting treated if you do get something, or, you know, maybe there is the small window, but very possible chance that you could get something long term. I think weigh up what's more comfortable for you.
And take into account your self-worth.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people always do that, do they?
I feel like one of the best bits of advice I got, ironically, when I was younger, was from a female dominatrix. And she was like, Topher, it's your attitude about yourself that men will adopt. And I thought, oh, what a load of la-di-da shit. And as you get older, you're like, oh, no, actually, that's right. Talk about yourself like you're something special, and you're worth being treated with respect, and you're worth someone telling you that you're status, and you have every right to ask for someone to use a condom. Yeah. If you don't use condoms, that's another conversation.
I think that people kind of match your energy, don't they? Sometimes people will mirror what you're presenting. So yes. Like you're saying, if you bowl straight in there and like, yeah, of course we are, you know, the other person's more likely to, oh, yeah, okay, great, yeah. Off we go. You've led it. Do you know what I mean? It makes
sense. Oh, thank God he brought it up. Like, yeah. I haven't got it. Yeah, yeah. So she's good. And I feel like with a lot of the work I do as well, especially filming, if I'm using not condoms, I got to make sure that that energy is matched in a responsible way on my part as well, because a lot of people would assume that I wouldn't want to use a condom. So then maybe they will go into having sex with me, maybe a bit scared about the fact they're not, but they don't want to touch on it because maybe they don't want to scare off me by mentioning it. And I'm like, no, you have every right to want to put a condom on. Like, so I feel like it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Especially when we're looking at the sex work angle, like filming, etc. Like, it's natural for people to assume that I would hate the idea of someone sleeping with me and then finding out afterwards, oh, they've got anxiety because they pretended they were comfortable with it and then they weren't. So I'm very upfront with it, all of that. I'm like, just tell me exactly where your head is at. I'm not offended. I'm like, if you think I'm going to be offended, Google a little bit of my work. You'll see that I've talked about this a billion times. Condom, yeah. No condom doesn't bother me.
Okay. Do you want some questions from our service users?
I miss this thing. I miss that face-to-face thing with people. So I live for this stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So first question from someone that says, even though I'm undetectable, I still feel guilty that I should disclose my status, my HIV status, before having sex, and it's really affecting my confidence. Is there any way to achieve guilt-free sex? This is quite a common issue, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the undetectable thing is so... undetectable equals untransmittable. It's important to remind yourself of that. I think it's more of a, where is this relationship going? Are you 100% certain that your status is undetectable or untransmittable? If so, do you need to divulge really intimate things about yourself? If it's a one-night stand, I do think it's a personal relationship thing, because I do understand there are some people who would feel, some people would be completely freaked out to think they'd slept with someone unprotected or whatever, or even protected in some cases, because we know how uneducated people are of sex, then they might feel, I deserve to know that. And I think because of a lot of the post-AIDS crisis backlash still lives in a lot of generations, they pass it down to kids. There's a lot of fear surrounding it. So I understand. I think just because of my job, I do try to be middleman between all of it. So I understand why the person would freak out, but I also totally understand like their anxiety about, should I disclose this? I think a lot of it comes down to your relationship with the person you're sleeping with. Is it someone who, I'm trying to think of the best way to articulate this, because I don't want to sound like I'm being uneducated or insensitive to someone who's undetectable because untransmittable. For example, this is a personal experience I can speak about. There's a regular fuck buddy I have. Well, I haven't seen him for about a year now, but I sleep with him all the time. And then one day he called me from someone's house that he was having sex with. And I was like, are you all right? And like, he was really, I was like, are you okay? I'm like, are you in trouble? And he's like a big guy. I'm like, why are you calling me for help? No, he'd found the pot of meds and he'd Googled it and had a complete meltdown in the bathroom and he'd locked himself in the bathroom. So I feel like that's something that needs to be taken into consideration as well. I think it's a shame, but I feel like it all needs to come down to a personal relationship situation.
Yeah.
But do I ultimately feel like people should have to disclose it if they are undetectable? No, not really.
I think some of the guilt possibly comes down to the fact that not enough people are aware of you equals you. So you sort of carry that burden, don't you? If you're that positive person that's undetectable. Whereas if we were all educated around you equals you and knew that you cannot pass HIV on, it would be a different story. I feel there's that burden if you're the positive person that's undetectable of having to carry the weight of all of that, of educating everyone else all the time.
Like there's a guy I'm really friendly with, and he's an HIV educator, Matthew Hogson. And he does so much. And you just see the replies he gets on Twitter infuriate me sometimes. But that's unfortunately the world we live in. This is why I know there's a lot of cringe about Generation Z. And I'm sure a lot of it's very precocious and stuff. But I'm excited for what that generation are going to do for sex ed. And especially things like HIV education, the understanding of what U equals U even means. I do get a little bit frustrated at some charities, especially a lot of the queer ones in central London, who write U equals U and everything. And I'm like, you need to stop assuming that people know what that means.
Yeah.
you have to really simplify this, because I feel like on the queer scene especially, everyone wants to be cool and relevant and hip and onto the next thing. However, by doing that, you alienate people who don't understand the nuances and, you know, in some cases, the brand names or whatever. So sometimes when I see U equals U, I'm like, I feel that's fantastic. But Liam from Penge, who's come to his first sex shop and seeing that on a flyer, has no idea what that means. He probably thinks it's a club night.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I feel like this is why things I think like TikTok and podcasts are really helping, because people get this information drip fed to them.
That's it. And I think people need it even beyond it just saying U equals U, even if it said undetectable equals untransmittable. What does that mean? Do you know what I mean? Because if we're not putting that in context with HIV, like...
And I love it. I love the heart of it. But if it,
yes.
It's this whole thing now on social media. If you don't catch someone's attention within 8 seconds, you've lost them. So by opening with, I'm undetectable, what does that mean? That could mean I'm trans and I'm passing, you know, even though it's a problematic area, but it's true. Like, so I would be like, I have HIV and I couldn't give it to anyone even if I tried, because I take this.
We need to have the word HIV in there, don't we? It's a bit like the campaign around testing week, which is fantastic, same sort of thing, but it requires people to have a level of knowledge, because everything says I test. Well, what?
Yeah.
We need to start adding HIV back into everything to be like, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah. I remember the first time I did a podcast, it was actually when I had my own one, and I spoke about having STIs on the episode. And it's the biggest time I've had a response from people close to me being like, Tova, like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really, because I've had it.
Yeah.
Why are we so scared of it? Like, I've had it. I'm surprised I'm not fucking doxycycline resistant at this point. But do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not ashamed of it, because it happened. I got treated for it. I'm lucky enough to live in a country where I didn't have to pay for that treatment. I'm living in a fucking golden bowl of fucking opportunity. I'm so lucky. So I know I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ashamed of the fact that we are ashamed of it. As corny as that sounds, I am. And I don't understand why it's provocative or daring to be like, yeah, I have had sex and, you know, shit happens. And I, unfortunately, I've had a whole list, you know. I've been lied to. I've had partners cheat. I've had the whole bloody collection. I'm just waiting for my shiny card. Do you know what I mean? My fast track.
Yeah, like VIP.
Yeah, like I just feel like we need to really, really, unfortunately, like almost make it a little bit more aggressive and instant in these messages.
Definitely.
I have chlamydia and this is what I did to treat it. Maybe I'll do that fucking video today. I've got the light set up.
Do it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you want another question?
Yes.
Oh, this one says, I just don't feel sexy anymore. Not sure if it's linked to my diagnosis. I'm having counselling. Good. Excellent. Well done. Yeah. Are there any toys that you could recommend for me? It used to be cheap, low income.
Well, I'll send you one. But DM me, I'll send you one. But yeah, I mean, is this someone with a penis, do you know?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I'm just assuming. Gosh, there's so bloody many. They're really, really interesting. I think when you're not feeling sexy, what you should do is bring something into the bedroom toy-wise that you're not used to. So a masturbator.
Meh.
I mean, you probably masturbate. I'm going to assume most people do. So maybe get something like a penis vibrator.
Okay.
So like, it's just an interesting way to learn a new way to orgasm. And I think like when you do that, it reignites your interest in sex because you're learning something new about your body and how to, you know, play. So for example, a penis vibrator will vibrate directly on the frenulum, the back of the penis head. So you don't even need to stroke it, which is vibrate, and it can pulsate, rumble. There's some really good brands out there, like Ann Summers, who I'm just working with, have actually just sent me one, which is really good. There's Hot Octopus, who do a really famous one called the Pulse. And Pulse was developed for people with erectile dysfunction and disabilities. So it's really thoughtful in how it operates, because you don't really have to handle it too much.
I never knew. This is amazing.
Yeah, they're called Hot Octopus. They're a UK company. They're amazing. Yeah. Really, really nice people. Really, what I like about their products is very thoughtful. Mm. And they are a little bit expensive though, actually. So I'm just going back to his point about affordability. Ann Summers do a really good penis vibrator. You can get a vibrating penis toy from a lot of manufacturers for up to around £30-35. So it's not super cheap.
But it's not massively expensive, is it? And it's an investment.
It's like a round of drinks at the bar, or a bottle of wine and a burger, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Or if you're like me, 3 bottles of wine and 7 pizzas. And then 4 days of regret.
But something that will last.
And the good thing about them is they're so many toys now are rechargeable. So you haven't got to worry about batteries and all that. You just plug it into your phone USB port.
Perfect.
Or charge it at your desk like I do.
Oh, well, we'll put links below the episode so that maybe other people listening that are also inspired by this can find them as well. So thank you.
And if anyone's got questions about toys, you can always DM me. I check my DMs a few times a day. Like, you haven't got to follow me if you're discreet. I really respect that. But slide in, I'll always reply. Like, well, there you go, boom. I've got a discount code. There you go.
Oh, thank you. Last question. My favourite question, this one. She says, in my country, sex is more for the man. I would like it to be about me sometimes, but he is lazy. How can it be more equal?
New partner.
I'm trying to think of a way to say this without just telling her to dump him. But I'm going to be honest. A lot of men, straight men in heterosexual relationships, are terrified of sex for so many different reasons. That is a whole episode on its own. A lot of men are scared and don't understand how to make women orgasm. They're scared to approach it because that's embarrassing. We're living in a generation now where people are becoming inspired by people like Andrew Tate, who thrive on misogyny. So this it backs men psychologically into a corner where they don't know how to address in certain situations of women or people with vulvas. Because I think it's a very confusing thing, the vulva and the clitoris. I think it's a shame that he's not pleasuring her. I think just bring it up. And I know, again, that's uncomfortable, but I feel like in order to progress and make life better, I think, and this applies to so many different aspects of life, you have to have the scary conversation or do the scary thing. Because if he's not picking up by now and you're frustrated to the point where you're asking questions, you know, outside of the relationship, you know, it looks like he needs a push in the right direction. And if you love him and you do have that empathy for maybe he's just, you know, doesn't know how to do it and is scared of it, just bring it up.
Yeah.
And I think gauge his reaction. And I think when you basically tell your partner, you're not pleasing me and I really want to be pleased, like, I would like to have an orgasm too. If you get a really negative response to that, I think initially you probably will. There will be of course, because I think anyone's ego gets, you know, oh, you're not pleasuring me, it equates to you're not a man. I think give it a minute, see what the long-term response is. And if it continues, then I go back to one, like what you said, a new partner.
I think it's also useful sometimes to be like, oh, I really liked it when you did that thing that time.
Yeah.
Even if that was ages ago, even if you're making it up. Because everyone goes, oh, yeah, that thing. Just do that again. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
I love when you put your hand there. Wow, yes. It really means that. And again, it's like what we said about condoms earlier. If they are someone who's very shy and you're scared, you don't want to hurt their feelings, which is understandable, find a window into the conversation as opposed to just jumping in. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I really like when you, even if they brush, like say, for example, during sex, even if they, like their pubic bone grinds into your clitoris. By accident, you're like, oh wow, that felt amazing. And if you need to hand the wow, you're really good at that, please do that again, I like that thing you did. And I like that.
Yeah, it's the positive, isn't it, rather than sometimes saying you're not pleasuring me, which everyone just hears as like a wounding statement. Yeah. Of like you're saying, it's you know, if they're not having those conversations, maybe to suddenly hear that would be hugely emasculating.
You risk causing more of a kickback. And that's a shame, I think. Just from my personal experience, so many men are so different nowadays, as opposed to like even when I first started dating and stuff, a lot more men are a lot more comfortable in their sexuality. A lot more men are a lot more confident and interested in pleasuring women, as opposed to before, everyone was a lot more scared of it. So you might be surprised. He might feel like you enjoy it every time. Maybe you fake orgasms and maybe you should stop doing that. You know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes you do that to be kind. And I've done it before. Stop doing that. Because that's not serving you. And I feel like, if it's reached the point now where you're asking questions about it for advice, it's reached a point where you want a solution now because you're frustrated. Mm. So bring it up kindly if you need to, like find a window in, but definitely bring it up. I think set yourself like I'm going to ask him by June the 10th.
Don't let it linger.
And I feel like you deserve pleasure. I have so many female friends, like my friend group is 99.9% like cis straight female. And the amount of times they say to me, oh, I don't come. Or, what does he do? And he doesn't. And the amount of times I've schooled them through, and everyone has their own individual reasons for or not. Or sometimes they're desensitized or what. And then another thing is bring toys into the bedroom, which I think a lot of the time, a lot of people think men are going to feel emasculated by. But sex toys are ultimately really good bond builders for two people or more. I think you get a real unique experience when it's just two of you, because you're going on an adventure together. You know, you're unpackaging it together. You're charging it together. Like, oh, it's charged. You know, the red light's gone on. You know, should we maybe go to the bedroom and try it out and hand the power, if you need to him, hold the wand, get him to hold the wand, guide him. And then, like, I don't know, compliment. I'm a big believer in compliments in bed. So if someone's doing something I really like, I always am like, you need to do that again. Like, you're, sometimes I do blow smoke up their ass a bit, but ultimately that serves me. It's because I'm an empathetic slag. So I like to reward good behavior and be kind. And I feel like with me, I find this topic really interesting because I have a lot of empathy for masculine, cis, straight guys in bed, because I know there's a lot of chaos and society crushing down on what they're allowed to explore. But then I also have a massive emotional connection to women who don't get pleasured. Mm. I think that whole topic is so fucking interesting.
I think it's quite complex, isn't it? But communication is key.
It really is. I feel like this is the word I say all the time with sex. And everyone's like, I'm not trying to give like a little social media buzzword. Like, communication is great. No, it literally is. Mm. Because ultimately, it's the only thing that's going to change what happens, unless there's a miracle. Unless, you know, your rhythms change. Let's be honest, a lot of partners in sex lives, especially long term, doesn't happen. So you have to be confident to talk. And going back to what I said earlier in the episode, if you're in bed with someone that you can't communicate with, that's worth addressing. If it's a long-term thing where you can't address A, B, or C, then sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of a red flag. Or maybe an opportunity for growth for both of you. But unfortunately, for a lot of my female friends who have been with guys, a lot of the time it's a red flag, unfortunately, when it becomes a long-term thing. And I don't think you should ever sell yourself short, and you always deserve pleasure.
As women, we're very good at airing all of our feelings and thoughts with each other. But do you know what I mean? We're not so great in relationships.
There's so many different factors to it, isn't there? Because on both sides, there's loads of all these things. You're trying to be empathetic and not want to emasculate someone or hurt their feelings. Because a lot of the time that can contribute to performance anxiety in men as well. Yeah. So it's a very complex thing, and it's so unique to each individual partner, like couple. But I really say, like, if it reaches a point where you just can't communicate with it, and that no matter how you try, you're not getting anywhere, maybe not sexually compatible.
Isn't it fascinating, you know, that you can kind of get naked with someone, have sex with them, but the communication is the issue. You can't talk to them.
Yeah, because I think sometimes it's easier to like sit on someone's face than listen to them talk. You know what I mean?
Isn't that true?
It is. I mean, Christ knows I've done it. Like, my last relationship, I broke up with someone a year ago last week. And God, like, the sexual compatibility just dissolved so fast, which for me, I thought was very strange because I'm quite good at gauging that. Mm. But it was because the person I was with wasn't honest with himself about what he wants and his desires. And that causes a fucking glitch in his brain. So I then was on the receiving end of all the negative vibes surrounding that.
Mm.
So ultimately, I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm out of here, respectively.
Oh, it's so interesting. What advice would you give to people around? I mean, you're very sexually free. I think a lot of people might be quite envious.
I'm lucky. I've done the work, though. I think that's why, yeah.
And that's important to mention, isn't it? How, for people who want to be more like you, how do they achieve that?
I think the biggest thing, the thing I always find myself saying, but it's so true, is you just have to accept the things that aren't going to change.
Mm.
Because we live in a culture, I mean, TikTok thrives on it, for example. How can I change this? 8 simple steps to make this different. There are things about you that will not change. And there are things about you you don't need to apologize for. Me personally, I love men. I love men. My life, and I'm not even ashamed to say it. And I think I've got a nice career, which I love. I've got a great relationship with my family, who I adore. And I fucking love men. And I think for, especially as a queer person, the gay man who looks like a little bit feminine and like always a little bit awkward, growing incredibly awkward and a massive loner as a kid, I had to go through all of these things of, no, I don't feel ashamed of this, but I feel like people make me feel like I should be ashamed of it. And it all goes back to accepting the things that won't change. If that comes down to stretch marks, cellulites, ingrown hairs, etc., which are massive, massive. I don't think I think things like, I had a conversation with someone last week who was saying she doesn't like to get naked. She uses mood lights and she kept buying like special, like dark mood lights for the bedroom from TikTok shop, of course, because she didn't want to show her razor burn to her partner and her ingrown hairs. I'm like, but do you consistently have them no matter what project, whatever product you use, no matter what topical lotion or alcohol, whatever, acids? Yes, I always have them. I'm like, well, it's not going to change then. You can cry over spilt milk for 3 days. The milk is still spilt. You know what I mean? There are things about myself that make me deeply uncomfortable. And I worked for a long time around it. And I diverted off track a bit there, but going back to the initial question, how to be more like me is honestly celebrate yourself. It's hard to do that in a culture where you are shamed for being confident nowadays. You're shamed for being sexual. You're shamed for being liberal in any way, shape or form. But ultimately, if you are feeling like a bit of a slag today and you would love to sleep with that man who's texting you, but you've got this inner conflict, if you genuinely really want to do it, but just go in there educated, you know? Like, for example, I'm sat here, take PrEP if you need to. You know, use condoms if you need to. Test regularly. It's so easy and we're so lucky, especially in the UK, to have such free access to incredible services. You know, you have the tools in front of you to really live as your sexually free self. It's just getting over that initial, it's always shame. It's always anxiety and self-confidence, which do get reinforced.
So being comfortable in your own skin, taking control of the situation so that you haven't got those fears about whether you've been infected by somebody or it all just makes perfect sense. And actually when you say it, you're like, well, this is common sense, but actually it's not common sense, is it?
It's very difficult with sex because we all get so chaotic. And I think as well, if you want to express yourself sexually in a certain way, you know, try it. You know, try it. If that means dressing up in a sexy outfit at home, taking some pictures of yourself. You know, what I always say to people when they do that, because there's this weird thing with that. Never look at the pictures immediately, because immediately you're going to go into cringe mode, especially if you're new to it. Give it a few days, go back and look at them. And I guarantee you, a few weeks down the line, looking back, you'll start to like more about the pictures, because it's like you rip the band-aid off in the first 16, and then you start thinking, oh, actually, I quite like how my thigh is looking that. I quite like, you know, that I can maybe, and if you are nervous about things like, if you really are deeply, deeply uncomfortable about things like stretch marks or cellulite, invite things into the bedroom which help disguise it or make you feel more comfortable, you know, showing it off, whether that be stockings, denier tights, fishnet body stockings, but as long as you're not doing it as a complete barrier, as long as it's just, you know what, I feel better, but I still feel sexual and ready to like have sex.
Oh, it's such good advice, isn't it? Okay, we're on to our final question, Topher. What is next for you? What have you got planned for the summer?
Oh, well, I've just partnered up with Anne Summers. So I'm their editor for April. I'm a big fan of Anne Summers because it normalized a lot of sex toys conversations for people. And I'm not just saying that because I'm working with them. I've always loved, like, when I was younger, I applied for a job in their Oxford Street shop, but I got nabbed by another company and I was in a financial situation where I had to go with that one. But yeah, so I'm their pleasure editor. So I'm just doing taking over their pleasure positivity projects.
What's that all about? That sounds amazing.
It's interesting. It's on there. They've got an Instagram dedicated to it and it's just basically bite-sized, comfortable, palatable sex education. And it's a lot of, they have a lot of influencers that do it. So that I'm now in there as like a sex educator.
Amazing.
So I'm like, hello.
Oh, what, like an ambassador for them?
Yeah, just for the month of April, which is really exciting.
Oh, so, well done. Thank you.
And I love how, I just love that. I think it's a really cool brand. I just like the fact it brought sex toys to the high street.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really, really, it was so like, how many, like, if you ask a lot of like normal people, like working class people from small towns, where do they get sex toys from? It's always going to be Ann Summers or Lovely.
That's so literally how I got my first sex toy from an Ann Summers party.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did you go to a party?
Yeah. And obviously you all sign up, don't you? And everyone's like, I'm going to buy loads of things I can't actually afford. And then be like,
yeah.
But that's one of the things I did keep. And that is how I got my first vibrator.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
And I wouldn't have gone, I don't think I'd have had the confidence to go into a shop. But because you're sort of all there and you're spending, I think it was someone's birthday or a hen do or something. It was when we were real young. I was maybe like 17 or something. But yeah, it made it an environment where it was okay. You know, you needed to order things rather than being like, oh God, I better not order anything. It was,
And it's great with sex, what you'll do, or even self-exploration, what you'll do when you get permission, you know, social permission. Oh, you're allowed to be. That's why I like going to things like Torture Garden just to watch. Mm. I'm like, wow, look at this. I think it's cute that people have this safe space. It's ironic I'm saying cute when it's like a rubber guy elbow deep in someone, but I'm like, ah. Oh, you're free to be yourself. But no, I love Ann Summers. I do. It's a real honor to be asked. Real, because I was asked. I didn't apply. So it's nice to get recognized by my industry.
Absolutely. And well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, they're very good, aren't they? They could see your potential.
Because they're April slapper. That's what I think to me. All right.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Will you come back again? Because we will have more questions for you.
Anytime. I love it. I love this conversation. It makes me feel.
Yeah. We love great. Having you on. It's just like, I mean, I'm off to buy, what are they called? A pulsator? Sarah. What we need to get.
They're so good. Of you.
Not but together. Then. Not to use together. Not you and me.
Well, and the good thing about Pulse as well is you can use it as a couple, because the vibration comes through the back of it, so it can rest on his penis head and you can squat on it or sit on it.
I just love talking to you. You just make talking about sex so like unashamed, very liberating, Topher.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So to clarify, you're going to buy one of these pulsators for you and Ben, your partner. Yeah, yeah. You don't want me there because
but I was suggesting you get one as well.
Oh, I see.
I was sold when Topher described it as an adventure. Love that. Love it. So it's an adventure you're taking together.
It's good. It's an unusual toy as well, yeah. But that's what I like. Any sex toy that's an adventure, bring it into the bedroom.
Thanks for listening to the HIV Podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the HIV Podcast for behind the scenes insights and video. The HIV Podcast is produced by Thames Valley Positive Support.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.